Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28, 29, 30, and 31, Moses is getting ready to die. We know that he is not able to enter into the promised land simply because of the fact that he had violated the will of God. God had told him that he was to bring water to those folks, and of course he took the glory for so doing. We know that God took him up on Mount Nebo and he said, "You look at all this land that the children of Israel are going to receive." He had led them in the wilderness for 40 years. And when you come to Deuteronomy chapter 28, 29, 30, and 31, it's kind of a closing chapter in the life of Moses as he gives them instruction regarding their going into the land of promise. In Deuteronomy chapter number 28, he says to them, basically that chapter is divided up into two sections. And he says in those two sections, two things. Number one, he said, if you forget what God has done for you, if you do not follow Him, then God will not bless you. In the other portion of that, and actually the first portion of that, he says that if you do the will of God and you follow Him and you serve Him, He will bless you. And I believe as you look at the 28th chapter, there's one key verse in that chapter in which he says that if you do not do the will of God, he said that the heaven is going to be like brass and the earth is going to be like iron. And basically here's what he's saying, that God will not bless you. The rain is not going to come and the crops will not follow if you do not do the will of God. As you and I study the New Testament as well, we come to the conclusion that we are blessed when we do God's will. In the book of Malachi chapter number 3, the Bible says, if you remember, God said, "You bring your offerings into my storehouse and see if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out unto you such blessings that you shall not have room enough to receive them." The Bible teaches us that when we do the will of God, He blesses us. When we refuse to do the will of God, He does not bless us. Now folks, you can't get any more plain or simple than that. When we do His will, is that not what He said in Matthew chapter 7? When He said, "Not every man that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Is He not giving us that comparison when He said that there were some men who were foolish men who built their house upon the sand and the rain descended, the flood came, the wind blew and beat on the house and it fell. And He said, "Blessed are those who build their house on the rock." These are the wise men. They build their house upon the rock, upon a foundation. And the rains descend and the floods come and the winds blow and beat on it and it stands because it is built upon a strong foundation. As you and I look at Christianity today, as you and I look at our lives as God's people today, I want to remind us of the same words of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, and that is, do not forget God's commands. I want to mention five things, just simply five different areas this morning that you and I need to always remember in studying the Bible, in our service to God, and in doing His will. That you and I need to remember these. I think of the words of David in the book of Psalms when he said, "Here is what I believe and therefore I speak." In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16, Paul almost dittos the words of David in Psalm when he said, "Here are the things I believe, therefore these are the things that I speak." So when you and I look at these five things, these are things that are very basic and very fundamental and very foundational in the life of the Christian. Number one, and that is, ladies and gentlemen, there must always be a reverence for God. When you and I look at the Old and New Testament, the Bible says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." What is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying that there ought to be a reverence for God. In the book of Psalm number 33 and verse number 9, the Bible said, "God spake and it took place." I paraphrase that. As you and I look in the book of Romans, chapter number 3 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." In the book of Romans, chapter 13 and verse number 1, The Bible says that God, that there is no law but that it is of the God of heaven. And so when you and I think of Habakkuk 2 and verse 20, the Bible tells us there that the Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before Him. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not, you know what He's saying? He said, you shut up and listen to God. Is that not what we need to do in terms of reverence? When you and I look at the New Testament, there are more than one occasion. For an example, do you remember when Peter had gone to the household of Cornelius and that Cornelius bowed down to him? And Peter said, you stand up, I myself am also a man. As you and I look at the book of Revelation, do you remember that John did so before the angel? And the angel said, hey, listen, get up. I'm not God. You do not bow before me. Ladies and gentlemen, have we lost the concept of reverence for God? Have we taken God and made Him human? You and I know that Christ came to this earth, gave His life, that you and I can be saved from our sin. Have we taken the God of heaven and have we humanized Him to the extent that our language, that our life, that our worship, that our dress, that every aspect of our lives, ladies and gentlemen, does not bring honor and glory to the God of heaven? I think of Paul's speech in Acts 7, chapter 17. When he stood before those folks and he said, I passed by and beheld your devotion. I noticed an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, Him I declare unto you. What did he do? He made the heaven and the earth. He's not worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything. The reverence that you and I should show to the God of heaven. As you and I think about this reverence, I think about Paul's words in 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 15 when he talks about him being the potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You and I must show reverence to the God of heaven. Let me ask us this question. I mean, think about this, folks. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai. Can you and I understand the awe-inspiring occasion that Moses climbs Mount Sinai to meet the God of heaven? And that the glory of God was so great that God said, Moses, you do not let those folks come past a certain point at the foot of that mount. That the awesomeness of God was so great that Moses, God said, no man's looked upon his face and lived. And do you remember the Bible says that God passed by and He allowed Moses to see his back? And I simply ask the question in my life, ladies and gentlemen, I ask myself this question. Do I have the kind of reverence and respect for the God of heaven? The Bible says, holy and reverent is it. I shudder when individuals try to refer to themselves, when quotation marks, preachers refer to themselves as reverend, whoever they are. I remember several years ago, I saw a marquee when I was living in the Detroit area, and there was this marquee, and this preacher had out there his name, and it was the right Reverend so-and-so, most high and holy potentate. Can you imagine the mind of God for a man to take that kind of consideration rather than giving it to the God of heaven? Do I show reverence to God in my language? You and I, folks, we live in a society today that takes the name of God in vain. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Go back to the book of Exodus chapter 12. Oh, somebody said, preacher, we're not living under the Old Testament law. I agree with that. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, you and I must understand from a study of the New Testament as well that God expects Larry Acuff to reverence His high and holy name, folks. Was read in our hearing a few minutes ago, Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Know ye that the Lord He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are the sheep of His pasture. Does my language show reverence and respect to God. When you and I assemble to worship, ladies and gentlemen, this building is not a holy building. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible speaks of holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Ladies and gentlemen, this building is not a holy building. I know there are those who say, well, you know, there are those who will not eat in a church building. I can't understand it. I mean, they will drink in a church building, but they will not eat in a church building. I mean, I don't understand that kind of reasoning. They have a water fountain and they'll get a drink while they're in the church building. But if you offer them a piece of cake in the church, oh, no, I can't do it. I can't eat in the church. There's nothing holy about this building, ladies and gentlemen. But there is something holy about the God of heaven. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when we come together in our worship assembly, remember the words of Matthew, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. If Jesus made that statement, and the Bible teaches us, John chapter 17, you remember, the Bible says that I pray, Father, that they all might be one as Thou, Father, art in me and I in Thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. That when you and I assemble together, that our purpose, ladies and gentlemen, to assemble is to worship the God of heaven. Do you and I come together in awesomeness before God? Our young people sing the song at camp and other places. Our God is an awesome God. Do we show that reverence? Do you and I show reverence to God by our approach to God the Father? In the book of Matthew chapter number 6, you remember that our Lord spoke the model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. I understand that that word hallowed, that there is not a Greek word that really corresponds well with that, and actually it is the word devout. That you and I show our devotion in reverence to God. So just as Moses said to the children of Israel, do not forget. Do not forget God. When you go into that land, you do not forget God. Ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you and I today not to forget reverence before God. You know, it's tough for me. I'm a preacher. We sing these songs. We meet around the Lord's table. I'm thinking about a sermon. I must force myself. Say, wait a minute, Larry. If you're going to think about the sermon, you need to think about it before you come together for the assembly. Because we've come to worship God. We have come to meet around the Lord's table. We have come to show reverence to God. We have come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do not forget the reverence of God. Number two. Ladies and gentlemen, we must not forget the deity of Jesus Christ. If you have a copy of the New Testament, I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. In verse number 5 of Philippians chapter 2, that is a verse that has always stood out greatly to me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But ladies, do you know that there are millions of folks in our world, in our society today, who do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? There is an increasing number of individuals in our world who do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, in His divine nature. Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, let not this mind be in you, verse number 5, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself, the Bible says, of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Bible says that He made Himself of no reputation, the deity of our Lord. In the book of Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says, Thou shalt bring forth a child, thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the book of John chapter number 14, and verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In the book of Acts chapter number 17, do you and I see that judgment was given unto the Son? The time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, for He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, and give assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead, that He hath given Him the power of judgment, the deity of Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, that He ascended back into heaven. And the Bible said, Why stand you gazing idle into heaven? That same Jesus that you have seen go into the heaven shall come again in like manner. The deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is the Son of God. He is divine. And it matters not that there are folks out in the world who look at Jesus on the same basis as Muhammad. There are those who do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And yet over and over again, you and I find that it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that you and I have salvation. So I want to say the second thing, and that is not only the reverence toward God, but the deity of Jesus Christ. Let me give you three. That is the Holy Scriptures. In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last days. You and I need to remember that the Scriptures are given to us by inspiration of God. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That the Bible tells us, Paul writing to this young preacher Timothy, he said that from a youth you have known the Holy Scriptures. He commended his mother and his grandmother in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 because they had taught him the Word of God. Folks, this is the Holy Bible. It is a sacred book. In Revelation chapter number 20, the Bible says, John said, I saw a great white throne and Him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. You and I look at this because it is from the words of this book. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That you and I must not only remember reverence for God, the deity of Jesus Christ, but you and I must remember that the Holy Scriptures come from God and that they are to guide and direct us in our life every day that we live. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. Do you and I have respect for the Word of God? Do you and I have respect for the Word of God to the extent that we read and study it on a daily basis? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Do you and I recognize that our Lord said in John chapter 15 that if my Word abide in you, was it not the words of Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in the hearts and cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles. Was it not the words of the apostle Paul that he heard from Barnabas, and now why tarriest thou, rise and be baptized? Was it not the words of Philip, the Bible says, that he began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus? Was it not the word of Jesus that Peter delivered unto Cornelius? Was it not the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul delivered unto Felix and unto Agrippa? But if you and I study the book of Acts, did you know over and over and over again in the book of Acts, there is something that's emphasized, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Number four, not only reverence for God, not only the deity of Jesus should we remember, the Holy Scriptures, but ladies and gentlemen, let us never forget the power of the gospel. In Romans chapter 1, you're familiar with this. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. When you and I look at Paul's words in Romans 1, he said, I am a debtor both to the Jew and to the Greek. And he said, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. Good news. I'm going to tell you, if you read the paper, or you listen to news, if you're not discouraged when you get through, call me up. Look, folks. Get in line at McDonald's if you think things are so bad. They're running them through there like, I don't know what. You read the news, everybody's dying. I thought of the preacher got up one morning, he was on vacation. He was reading the paper from his hometown, he was reading the obituary. And some mistakenly had gotten his name in the obituary. He thought, I better call one of the elders, get this thing straightened out. And he called the elder, got on his cell phone, called the elder, said, have you read the obituary? And the elder said, yeah, where are you calling from? Bad news. You know, everybody's losing their house. We can't buy gas. We're running out of oil. Haven't we heard that story sometime in the past? And ladies and gentlemen, and we all get up and all... But let me tell you something, folks. There's good news in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, look. I hope to live to be 100 years old. I'm going to preach. Y'all know that. I've already got a meeting set up for 2040. I do. I have a meeting set up for 2040 to hold a meeting when I'm 100 years old. They said, we just want to see if you can stand up. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen? Somebody back years ago, you remember everybody thought that the Russians were going to blow us up with a bomb, you know, and we learned all these, you know. I never could figure this out. You learn how. They taught us in school to get under the desk. I thought, what's that going to do with an atomic bomb? Fall on it. But you know, I heard one fellow say, he said, so what if the Russians blow us up? He said, I'll just get to go on home and be with the Lord a little bit sooner. Ladies and gentlemen, my faith is not in OPEC. My faith is not in the federal government. My faith is not in the governor, the senators, or the representatives of the state of Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, my faith is in Jesus, the Son of God, and in the message that's good news, and that's the gospel. You and I can obey His will. Jesus died, and He took me out of the hands of Satan. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about what happens in the world. Yes, because it is the world that needs the gospel. But as someone has said, and you've heard many times, I do not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I'm here to tell you today, my friend, you can go out the doors of this church building and you can hold up your head with great faith and strength and courage, because the gospel is good news. Number five, do not ever forget that it is a pure life that makes a difference in our world. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, you know, the Bible says, whatsoever things are pure and good report and all, think on these things. Paul said, now, don't worry, in everything give thanks. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge and temperance. He said, now these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. The purity of life. It is the purity of life that makes a difference in our community. Ladies and gentlemen, if someone looks at us, let them see righteousness. Let them see a pure life. In the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews challenges those folks. And he said to them, you beware lest you forget. Ladies and gentlemen, let us beware lest we forget the reverence of God, the deity of Jesus, the Holy Scriptures, the good news, the gospel of Christ, and purity of life. You've been wandering out in the world, a world of sin, shame, sorrow, discouragement. Give your life to Christ. Dedicate your life to Him. Obey His will. Take that old man, a man of sin, and wash him clean with the blood of the Lamb as a child of God.